Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. Tonight's program is part two of our end of year interview with CEO Capital Football, Heather Reid. We cover a range of topics that I'm sure you'll find very interesting and very topical, if I can put it that way. Next week, we'll do a special interview with Ron Smith, football analyst, coach extraordinaire. And of course, you would recall that Ron has just completed a review into our high performance training here in the ACT. He's handed his report to the Capital Football Board and they're considering it. We'll discuss that report in full with Ron next week. Should be a cracking good interview. In the meantime, let's hear from CEO Capital Football. We're talking to Heather Reid, CEO Capital Football. One of the many talks that we've had through the year. And this is a nice one to wind up the year. And then the year starts again.
Does the year ever finish?
Now, could I ask you about, we've just completed a men's competition review here in the ACT. What's the upshot of that?
Look, my understanding is that we will have a few changes to the positioning of teams within divisions. Looking at a slight restructure of what divisions play at 1 o'clock and what divisions play at 3 o'clock. Just attempting to get a little bit more of the, for lack of another expression, a competitive state league group and a more social state league group. So rather than just saying, oh, well, you know, Division 7, for example, is maybe social, when we know that probably some of those teams are much better than the Div 3s or Div 4s. Or, in fact, the Div 3s are a very strong competition.
Yeah, a bunch of likely lads or ladies positioning themselves.
But we're just waiting for the men's league to finalise some of those changes. I don't think we'll see a great shift in what's happening. More importantly, I think it's what's happening at the national level, because there is a review into all of the state league competitions, Premier League, State League, we're all calling them different things.
Yeah. For what purpose?
Well, the intention is to try and come up with a common model across the member federations for competition structure. So we all know that if we're talking about Premier League, then we're talking about the top competition, and that maybe Super League sits under that, or State League, whatever expressions we have, with the eventual aim, I think, of coming up with a like this B League, the National B League. Can we get to a point where we have a national B League which has got the best teams out of Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, Brisbane, etc., playing in a second-tiered national competition?
Would they imagine doing that in winter or in summer, do you think?
That's nothing is known. Right. What is certain is a full 100% commitment to have an FFA Cup style competition with preliminary round robin and then knockout based on the FA Cup.
How are you going to fund that? Who's going to fund it?
Well, it'll have to be
clubs funding it.
Clubs funding it.
Wow.
Yeah, clubs participate, clubs fund it. Yeah. But the goal would be for the likes of a Belconnen or a Canberra FC or even a Woden Valley or a Tuggeranong, etc., being able to play against an A League club at some point in this knockout competition, and it would be for men and for women.
Okay.
So there would, and I think that's really important. I mean, from the women's perspective, whilst we see a large swathe of talent in the W League, they are largely players who come from the NTC structure, the training centre programs like ACTAS and WACE and NSWIS. Whereas the Premier League players from Brisbane or Melbourne and Sydney, Adelaide, Newcastle, they don't necessarily get to play against each other. So, you know, we'll probably see the top Premier League clubs, like a Bell West, playing against an Cliff Scotts or a Gladesville Hornsby.
And that's the FA Cup style model.
FFA Cup.
So that's one. Is that separate and apart from, say, a B level competition?
Yes. Okay. In addition to.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see the FFA Cup style competition coming in for 2012,
right?
And then any B League or attempt to have a consistent approach to domestic competitions underpinning the A-League would probably be 2013, because it's going to take that time for some member federations to click over, and you probably...
And clubs to find the money.
You probably saw the news that Football New South Wales was looking at going to a summer competition.
Yeah.
FFA's just asked them to hold off on that.
Oh, okay.
In the event that anything that happens with either the FFA Cup or a B-League or an Eastern Australia's regional competition, that might be a summer competition.
It just makes me think, I know they're reviewing it, but and there's nothing firm out on this, but we've got an A-League, we're looking at perhaps a B-League, or the feasibility of a B-League. Where does the Youth League sit in that equation, Heather?
Well, we're being asked to submit feedback to FFA on that, that kind of competition structure. We haven't got any definite ideas about it, but clearly we would want to see Canberra with a team in the Youth League. We have made that known to FFA and to Lyle Gorman, who's doing the review on the A-League. If they're reviewing the A-League, you can't do that in isolation to the Youth League. And we believe that Canberra can support a team in the National Youth League without an A-League club. And it's vital for the development of our young male players to have that link between our premier competitions, the Youth League and the A-League.
I know first thoughts, but how would that be organised? Would that be organised in the same lines as the Canberra United W League team?
Personally, I don't think Capital Football could sustain it.
No, I
think probably what could happen, and there's been some preliminary discussions with Ivan Slavich about this, is that the A-League for Canberra Group could form into an entity that would take over a National Youth League team and Canberra United in the Women's League. If the Women's League continues to grow as it is, even if it stays at seven teams, the sheer volume of work associated with managing the team, match day operations, all of the things that go around the compliance and the regulations with FFA is becoming increasingly challenging and extremely time consuming. It's not. We're fortunate in that I have staff who are kind of off-season a little bit, so the Women's League manager has got a role to play. The Junior League manager is managing the volunteers aspect. Adam Castle, our event coordinator, is our football operations. Russ is doing the media, and of course the workload on myself to manage and supervise all that. At some point we'd probably have to move to another model, but in the absence of a youth league team, we'll probably continue to manage just the one. If we had two teams, I'd say new office, new structure, new setup.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And that would be a good investment for us, I think.
And I think it would be attractive to others that want to invest, sponsors and the community and the ACT government.
Yeah. Well, I still marvel. I think Canberra United's an incredible advertising vehicle. I think some of the businesses are very slow to pick up on the marketability of those.
We're getting a few more on board. We were delighted with the last minute sign up of the University of Canberra, and I'm having more discussions with those people in the next few weeks about how we can build on that, and I think there'll be much more input from the university. Vice Chancellor has been to the last two games and had an absolute wonderful time, even though he's a Newcastle supporter from England, but he's okay.
Well, we're forgiving for that.
Stephen Parker. You know, there's a few other nibbles out there for next year too. So it's just building, and it's a new concept, it's a new brand, and it's a little bit of the unknown, Peter.
Yeah.
Apart from the football tragics like yourself.
Yeah, nothing in this comes without a rate of effort. You know, the old build a mile of road, build a mile of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dollar attached to everything, but there's also a work rate people have got to put in. Yeah, clearly there are opportunities in this review and where we can meet those concerns as the peak body you've got about this pathway gap we've got for those players once they sort of go post, effectively post ACTAS, because no one gets that many into the AIS really.
Well, post-ACTAS, of course, you know, from our Premier League competition, because that's where they should be going. I mean,
well, that's right.
These ACTAS lads are still 16, 17, so, you know, they've got They've got a couple of years in our local Premier League if we build that and make that stronger, or indeed interstate competitions.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, the youth league is the 20s, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, actually, yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. They come post ACTAS. There might be the occasional AIS lad who comes out, but sooner or later they go back into clubland and play, and clubs at this point in the main are not geared up to go much past 2 days a week and a match.
Yeah.
And although that pressure's gradually building, that, unless I miss my guess, which brings me on to the summer 20s. I've got to tell you, I thought was one of the best things you guys have done on the men's. And
not the Masters as well? Because the Masters love playing in the summer too. I'm just kidding.
Well, listen to the Masters.
They
all
love
the time.
It.
I know they love it. I know. They come hobbling to the game afterwards. Yeah. Yeah.
The summer 20s is very important, and we need to work with the clubs to try and have a commitment from I guess, coaching and technical staff that sees the clubs actually putting teams into the competition. Because
yeah.
I think what happened this year, it was very disappointing we didn't build on the numbers of the teams, but I think some of the club personnel were just burnt out at the end of the winter season, and it's those same personnel that would be expected to turn around and perhaps look after an under-20s, and whether it's coaching and managing the team as well as organising training and everything else. But we need to get to a point where there's a group that's looking after kind of winter football stuff and then summer football. On top of that too, of course, we've got futsal, and a lot of these people are engaged in both. Our technical director position is currently being reviewed, as you're aware, Peter. We've got a number of great candidates for the job. I expect that the National Technical Director, Han Berger, and myself and one or two others will do interviews for that position on the 17th of December. And that one of the key roles that the new technical director will be required to manage is that improvement in education and development of our Premier League coaches from First Division to under-18s.
Yeah.
So the new TD will be doing more work with club coaches.
I'm very pleased to hear that because, if I may say, if at the end of the day the vast majority of the technical director's effort goes into ACT representative teams, then we, with the greatest respect, that does not...
Well, there will be a requirement for them. There will be a requirement under the national technical plan for them to still have a very large hand in the high performance program.
Of course,
Or the skill acquisition program, as it is called by FFA. Yeah, it's the skill acquisition program from under 9s to 12s, the skillaroos at age 13, and then the 14s, 15s. Now, an important move for the boys, especially in that consideration, is the demise of the under-15 national championships.
Wanted to talk to you about that. What's the profile on these championships now?
Well,
the national youth championships we're talking about.
For the boys, it's 13s and 14s.
Yeah.
The under-15s has now gone, basically, from next year, and that's largely because over the last 2 years especially, we've seen an increasing overlap of players in the boys under-15s groups and the NTC squads.
Yeah, it was inevitable.
It was inevitable. Yeah. It was foreshadowed 2 years ago when the AIS dropped its age 1 year, then the NTCs dropped their age groups. Personally, I'm pleased with this decision, but more so I'm also pleased with the decision to take out the girls under-17s. Because I've been arguing this point at national level for some time, that the girls under-17s are almost redundant.
Yep.
Well, they were redundant when we had an NTC program that took girls from 15, 16 and open age.
Yes.
And I've been arguing for some time that the girls 16s, sorry, the girls 17s should be dropped to 16s or something else. So the girls' championships now, 17s will now be 14s.
Mm.
So it's 13s, 14s, 15s.
Mm.
And the similar impact was happening with the boys in recent years with the 15-year-olds. The best 15-year-olds were already in the ACTAS program.
Yeah.
And we just found that there was a push-pull happening here with the players. Are they going in the capital football program at under-15s or the ACTAS program at under-15s? Are they going to be available for our representative team at under-15s? And it became increasingly obvious that we couldn't sustain both.
Mm.
It's a recommendation that's in Ron Smith's review of the high-performance program, and it's something that FFA has now sort of preempted by saying we won't be having a boys' 15s anymore.
Well, from where I stood, it looked, and I sure watched plenty of games, it looked to me like we were increasing the number from our, in our pond, increasing the numbers of, that were playing, but not necessarily increasing the standard. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see much of a point. Now, that's a personal view.
Out of that decision, I think we've got an opportunity to revisit something that we had with in conjunction with the Kanga Cup a few years ago. There's clearly now going to be a bit of a gap for boys' 15s and 16s. And what I'd like to see... So the boys' 15s, 16s don't have a national championship, those boys who miss out on the NTCs. What I'd like to see is the return of the Capital Cup, which was a competition we started in conjunction with the Kanga Cup, which was for regional and representative state teams.
Oh, good one.
So we might have a Capital Cup for representative teams at boys' 15s, 16s level, and for girls' 16s, 17s. So that would see maybe six or eight teams in Canberra during the Kanga Cup playing in this high-level representative competition.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Now, can I just slip you back to the summer 20s?
Segwayed away from that.
Sorry about that. No, you did well, but we're back. It just seems to me that the Premier League clubs have to lead the way here. Now, in our case at Waden Valley, we put two teams in. A lot of people want to play. Have we learned something out of that? Yeah, probably one team might have been a better way to go. But, you know, that's just me as an ordinary member just taking the temperature of the rest of us that are thinking about this. But that said, I can't understand how a Premier League club will not stump up with a team of under-20s. I just don't understand that. I mean, it's a terrific opportunity.
Well, I think the more people like you that talk it up, Peter, the better it will be. And that, you know, we need to promote it a little bit more to clubs that may not have been Premier League clubs but have got good teams in the under-18 boys competition, the junior comp. So, you know, a club like maybe a Western Creek or a... I mean, you look at Gungahlin and where they're going, and I guess... I don't think Canberra City were in it. Were they in it this
year?
No,
they weren't.
So, now, that surprised me. Canberra City and Belconnen. And I go back to my point about...
Monaro.
People who are too tired at the end of the winter season to then turn around and organise something for the 18s or 20s. But it's got to be different people taking that challenge. If it's not the club director of coaching or the Premier League under-18s or pathway coach, then it could be somebody else within that coaching structure that looks after the under-20s. Because it's not that expensive, I don't think.
Well, I got to tell you, $1,800 is a bit of a sting for a team.
Right, okay.
And most of us have had to work on the basis of cost recovery for the players.
Well, we can review the cost. I mean, if the cost is an issue, we need to look at the very basic costs of the venue hire and the referees, and
I mean, that's essentially it.
So a few trophies and some prize money, I think, at the end.
But, look, it just seems to me that from a Premier League club point of view, if I take that position first, you've got this strategic position in your club where you've got the push pressure from the under-18s and maybe the odd 17-year-old who will not be in Premier League 18s next season. And they'll come to your trials. Or if you don't show enough interest in them, they'll go to another club's trials. And their mates talk to them, and next thing you know, it's so much influenced by the social contacts. So if you manage that transition and use this short competition, which is the summer 20s, to put them in company and have a look at them and get them to play. And you're bringing the odd player down from pathways, indeed even the odd Premier League player. So this thing works really well. And you're right to say that there are clubs out there that have good under-18 teams, who will now go plus of 18, because every now and again a club incubates a group of players. I mean, no better example, 16, but look at the White Eagles team that came across to Canberra Olympic. I mean, well, they won.
Yeah.
Were
yeah.
they good?
Yeah.
They were good, and they'd been good for a couple of years before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these things happen.
Or
clubs.
The young team from Woden that went to Canberra FC that, you know.
Yeah, they did pretty well too. Yeah. In fact, we had two teams that did pretty well, that age group.
But we might need to review that, Peter. And as I said, any feedback from the clubs about the under-20s would be very, very useful. And if cost is a factor, then maybe it's something that Capital Football might need to subsidise in order to grow the number of teams and make it more competitive.
And I reckon the other thing that helps, because we've got the game staggered, and you know, then the last game finishes reasonably late, and it's on a Sunday, so everyone's trying to get home. Sort of our hole-in-the-wall canteen has to operate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe in the first season the clubs did it on roster. I don't know whether it worked for the clubs or it didn't work for the clubs, but I figure we've got to get something there so that, because it's usually families that turn up, because it's just easy to put everyone in the car and take them to football.
Yeah.
But if someone's going to operate a barbecue, there's something to eat and go home and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we can make it easier for a bit more family friendly, I think. But great idea, that should get more legs next year. I wanted to ask you about, we've spoken briefly about the technical director's position, you've got that under. Why? When do you see that being resolved?
It's dependent on the availability of Han Berger, mostly, the National Technical Director, because the FFA is leading this process.
Oh, no World Cup bid, mate. He should have
buckets
of time now.
I know he's going overseas on the 20th. I'm meeting with him tomorrow. He's here in Canberra this week, of course, because it's the NTC Challenge, minus ACTAS.
Yep.
We won't say any more about that. So I'm meeting with him tomorrow, and I expect that the first window that he'll have to do the interviews will be the 17th, and if we can make an offer pretty soon after that, then I would imagine we will have somebody in the position starting their job end of January.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
In time for the next phase of the high performance program.
Right.
Bearing in mind that Ron Smith has tabled his report on the high performance program. The board is currently considering the report and the recommendations. I think there are about 30-odd recommendations.
So he's already given the report in. So by the time this program goes to air, the board will have
The board is in the process of considering the findings and the recommendations.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything terribly startling in there that we didn't know. A lot of positive and a lot of positive comments and a lot of things that we need to improve on.
Yeah.
One thing that has been noted is a change of name. I mean, we changed from the Academy to High Performance because FFA had the High Performance platform within its strategic plan. Ron is suggesting that we look at just referring to it as the development program. So we would still have a winter and a summer development program. And that might help also then distinguish the representative program, because there's a lot of confusion still about the difference between the high performance program and our representative program. They're linked, but we have separate but overlapping squads, if I can put it like that.
So clarity on that.
So getting more clarity. And this was something that Brendan Lynch found a few years ago when he did a review as well. Need to improve the education and development of coaches, not just within the high performance program, but at Clubland. We need to look at the best training and competition environment. And there's nothing obvious in the report about playing squads. Although he does question the merits of the under-13s, for example, being playing squads when the championships are in April. Now, the other interesting...
Well spotted, Ron.
But what's happened here is, with this change for the boys' 15s and 13s, the boys' 13s will now move to October.
Yeah.
So it makes a little bit more sense if we did keep the boys as a boys' 13s as a playing squad through to the championships in September. October, and the boys 15s of course go, so there'll be one less representative squad within our high performance program.
Right. Okay. Oh dear.
So which means we've got to still find a fit, I think, for a training or a development group at 15-16. I personally believe that we need to keep some under 15-16 boys group going.
Yeah.
Outside of NTC.
I can tell you one thing that doesn't work, and that's the under-17 summer high performance in the summer 20s. Look, with the greatest respect no, a number of those. Look, they really did play their backside off.
Yeah.
They didn't give up. They tried as hard as they could. In my humble opinion,
too young.
And they weren't genuine 17s. We're talking about the odd 14, but 15 and 16. The jump then to 20s. And if I pick the two teams that played last night, our Woden Valley One team and the very good Canberra FC team. Now, most of us watched these boys come through, and they've all been, if not Premier League 18, they've certainly been pathways, and the odd player has had time in at Premier League game.
Yeah.
So just to step them up that high was just a bit hard.
Yeah, I think, with all respect, Ian Shaw, our previous technical director, just thought there was an opportunity there to fill the gap where there was a bye in the absence of another team, let these lads have a bit of a run. But you're probably right. I think they were too young.
That was the issue.
Not quite ready.
No, the physicality was just a bit strong for them. But you're right, there is now a gap, and you've got to find as you're going forward for those 15 and 16s.
Yeah,
you can see that.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the National Youth, to the National Training Centre Challenge, which is on this week. Gee, I wish the FFA had give this a bit more publicity on their website. It's so hard to find detail.
It's almost like it's a secret. It is. They want to keep it a secret, isn't it?
And the best football going around at age in Australia
is
on our doorstep here.
The best 15, 16s. It's an interesting conundrum because...
Why do they do that?
Well, they're managing it through their NTC network, so the Institutes and Academies of Sport. It's not really anything to do with us.
No, I know.
We're helping with a bit of volunteer and you know, operation staff, but...
this is an FFA thing.
It's largely, it's an FFA thing, and in previous years they've worked with Milo and ACTAS in putting it together. I'm not quite sure what the arrangements are this time, because ACTAS are overseas or going overseas.
Yeah, they're gone.
So I don't know who's helping them. I know we're helping them because it's possible that the AIS grounds won't be open with the weather that we've had. And
if rain comes next today, week, Monday?
They started today.
Wonder where they started.
They're either at the AIS or they'll move to Hawker if they need to.
Right. Oh, wow. It's going to get nice.
Yeah. So I'll see if we can get some more information and put a link on our website for listeners.
Oh, it's hard to find, Heather.
Because Wednesday and Thursday should be good games. I think that, because they come down to finals, or they're just doing the straight past the post?
No, I'm assuming it's the same.
Yeah, as early this year.
Yeah, that's what I've been led to believe in asking the questions. It's the same as last year. What's not clear to me is whether they're persisting with the technical assessment, which I thought was a really good idea.
I think they are.
I just don't
because Hahn and others are here this week.
Right. Because I don't know why they dropped it out of the National Youth Championships at some of those age levels. They just didn't do it. I guess they didn't have the
people. Probably just because people weren't there.
And that's a shame, because that was really important feedback.
Yeah. Probably just because the people weren't there, and maybe the writing was on the wall for the 15s anyway, that they'd be going.
So, well, we're at the end of 2010.
Wow.
What are the big things for you as a CEO this year?
I'd have to look at different departments.
Your perspective only. You know?
Yeah, look at different departments really within Capital Football, Peter. The fact that right across all of our leagues, we've maintained, if not grown, our numbers.
Yeah.
I think we've had stronger, better, hopefully more improved. Managed competitions from junior, men's, women's, and indeed futsal. We're really pleased with the way in which futsal is progressing at a senior level. At a junior level, I think we've still got a fair bit of work to do. The structure of the men's Premier League going forward, whilst it's disappointing we won't have ANU there, I think it's still going to be in a very good, strong position. The review that we've done with the Women's Premier League, and we see Gungahlin coming into the competition next year, will be a big step forward.
I'm sorry I didn't ask that before.
Yeah.
Isn't that great news?
It's great news on the one hand for Gungahlin. On the other hand, Brindabella has struggled, so they won't be continuing, but we hope there'll be a nice link with some of the Brindabella players going into Canberra FC.
Okay.
Because they need some stronger or more experienced players.
Yeah.
At the governance level, I was delighted that the board completed a governance review and resulting in policies and procedures that just helps distinguish a little bit more between governance and management, constitution amendments, bylaw amendments, Financially, we've tracked extremely well, a reasonable surplus, and a large part of that is related to the facility infrastructure levy, which just helps restore our cash reserves so that we're ready to go forward with some money there for another second synthetic pitch, hopefully. Working very closely with three or four clubs on their facility development. It's been a full-on year, as usual, and I'm finding it difficult to realise that we're actually in December and nearly ready for a little bit of a holiday.
What would you say
were the highlights, Peter?
Well, for me, I thought Hawker, the Hawker facility for me in terms of the infrastructure was the standout thing. And the other side of that was is once you got hold of it and used it and saw what it could do for you, you then got cranky that you didn't have two or three more.
That's right, especially at some times of the year.
So sometimes these gifts, as it were, stimulate desire and accelerate impatience. My own view is that the coach education and training is getting through. We're seeing a lot more teams. The visible outward sign is a lot more teams playing the 1-4-3-3. Conduct of the coaches on the sideline is changing. Spectators not changing quite as much, not a perfect world. The Premier League competition that now gone to four grades in the men's, that's solidified now and they're all playing. That's great. On the women's side, I thought that was absolute standout. Women's Premier League this year, that was just that was a really good competition. The games are just good. Didn't always see good games in the men's Premier League, but you would find them. You would find a good game across the four, or a couple of good games across the four every weekend. So it was a bit patchy. The futsal, I thought the futsal at the start of the year, I think futsal has been getting better and better. So we're getting a tighter regime on futsal, and it's tightened up again now. That's good. On the downside, if I could put it this way, well, I think what worries myself is the cost of playing, in inverted commas. And everything around us in society is going up. I don't know how we pull this back. I just don't know how we pull this back.
So you won't be pleased when we might have to increase the fees by $5 or $6 per player? That's possibly what's on the cards. The board is considering the fee structure for next year, and you know, it won't be a big increase. It's probably 2 or 3%, you know.
I guess my reaction to that is...
How
can it not increase in one sense?
There's three things that will increase that impact on it. Ground hire will be increasing, referees' fees are increasing, and the FFA levy is going up a dollar. So by the time you take out a dollar for FFA and a couple of dollars for ground hire and other things, then costs are there. But you're quite right. I mean, we're trying to contain the fees to a reasonable level. There's a few years where we didn't increase them at all. Now we've just got a small, it's not even the CPI. I think CPI is at 4% or something. We're talking about for juniors, for kiddies it might go up $4 or $5, but for the adults it's probably no more than $8 a player.
For me, the biggest changes have from the footballing side, the biggest changes have been the imposition of the new national curriculum and how that's progressively started to become foremost in people's minds at the ordinary level on the weekend. That's taking place.
And you're right, the number of people that have been through coaching courses in the last 12 months compared to previous years is very impressive. And
That's how you influence outcomes, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and there'll be more and more of those delivered. We hope to do a senior... Well, we will be doing a senior licence course. We'd love to be able to run an AFC-C licence, and that should happen next year. Refereeing remains a little bit of an issue where we've just got to... more to retain referees, and I think you hit the nail on the head about the club coaches' behaviour might be getting better, but we've still got to address the spectator behaviour and, to some extent, player behaviour.
Oh, well, players are always yappy, but sometimes a bit too yappy. And we've just got to move on. This is a problem we do have in our game, and I don't like drawing comparisons to the say, league or union. If I do, just in this one case... I don't like giving them oxygen. In this case, they do not chat the same way as our players chat. So something is just in our game that has to go, and I guess time will fix that. But I'm glad you mentioned the referees. I should have mentioned it, but I didn't know whether to classify it as plus or minus.
Mm.
Plus because, I mean, boy, they've got a hard job. Minus because we just don't have enough of them.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we're doing to address that, and another reason why there'll be a slight increase in the fees, small percentage of that will go towards the appointment of a full-time referees manager within Capital Football. We've been working with a part-time referees administrator, but we, if the budget goes through okay, then we'll be advertising for a full-time refs manager who'll be responsible for some of that development work and rolling out a proper and well-resourced respect campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
And the respect campaign that will apply to the referees equally as to the players and coaches and spectators.
Yeah.
So we're slowly... You know, getting the house in order in that sense. I mean, clearly we'd love to have a few more people in the office, but we've currently got 14 staff, and I think that's probably ideal for this size of an organisation. But it's been a good year, and I mean, I'd personally like to congratulate Canberra FC on yet another three-peat and a terrific year for that club.
Oh, yeah.
Bell West and Woden in the... in the women's, and not far behind with Western Creek and Belconnen.
Yep.
Belconnen, Canberra City, Woden Valley, the three new clubs in the men's Premier League. They didn't, they didn't fare as well as probably they would have liked, but for Goulburn, Coomer and Monaro Panthers, I thought it was a pretty good start again to the Premier League.
I think they're much wiser for the experience, but then I think back to the club I'm with. You know, there's just seemed to be tracking ground that we've gone over.
That's right.
I mean, there's some rite of passage, I suppose, in this.
Yeah, that's right.
Takes time to get to grips with how you've got to how you adjust your thinking if you're going to play the Premier League game.
Yeah. But can I also say thanks to 2XX and to you, Peter, and
that's
the crew
right,
there,
yeah.
And all the best to the listeners for a happy festive season and a very merry new year.
Well, thanks for making yourself available, Heather.
No problem.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Happy Christmas. Bye bye.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da. Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your town. Every day I make my way.